Good to see you all this morning. We are in Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. If you want to open your Bibles there, we will pick up in verse 29 where we left off last week. If you have need of a Bible, as always, raise your hand good and high. One of these gentlemen will hand one to you. Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. We also will be looking at Mark chapter 9, and it's not too far away, but if you want to bookmark that as well, so you can get to it quickly. I had an opportunity to text Suzelle this morning in Haiti, and she said she'd be with us this morning at 9:30. So, good morning, Suzelle. Good to see you. Yay.
Love it.
No, she's not here. I was waving to the camera. They're like, where is she? Mark chapter 1, verse 29. As we always do, let's bow our hearts, ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that on every Sunday morning and every day, really, we can sit down and open the word together. We can read your word and with great anticipation and expectation, know that you will speak to us. So I pray, Lord, as we look at these scriptures, as we look at what you did, Lord Jesus, in Capernaum, I pray that we would walk away from this place encouraged and believing with all of our hearts that you can do the absolute impossible. Let not one of us in this room have any doubt. And if there are any in here this morning that are struggling, that are doubting, Lord, that you will touch their lives, God, I pray this morning they would realize that you love them so very much that you want to touch their lives. You want to make a difference in their existence. And so we come to you with great need, God. We come to you with the confession that we cannot do these things in our own strength, but we know that you can. So touch us this morning, we pray, by your Spirit and through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Nearly 9 years ago now, I was traveling to visit my younger brother, who had been sick with cancer. He lived in Rochester, New York. He had been diagnosed with breast cancer 6 months earlier to my visit. And after surgery, removing the tissues in his chest, they gave him a clear bill of health. 6 months, no cancer. But on this particular trip, I had gotten news that the cancer had returned. And all throughout his body, tumors were popping out. And my mom and dad, as I talked to them a couple days before I flew out, they said, boy, I hope you can get here as quick as possible because it doesn't seem like it's going to be too much longer that your brother will be with us. And so I got on the plane in Rochester, or in Nashville, flew to Philadelphia. And as I'm walking through the Philadelphia airport to get on my next plane, I get a phone call from my father. And I won't say to you that I had great faith and believed, oh, this was going to be good news. Immediately, I thought, my brother's passed, and I didn't make it. But to my surprise and to my happiness, as I picked up the phone, my father said, you're not going to believe this, but your brother has rebounded. Because prior to that, for about 3 days, he laid in the bed sick, throwing up from the radiation and the treatments that he was receiving. And so I wanted to go see him. But at this particular time, whether he knew I was coming or not, he just rebounded. And so by the time I got to Rochester and by the time I got to my mom and dad's house, my brother was there with his girlfriend at the time. And I'll tell you, my brother's as tall as I am, but he weighed half my weight. And it was a sight for my eyes to see. Certainly saddened me. But to be able to see him awake and to see him, my brother was one of those kids that you always would laugh around. He had a great sense of humor. And so as we sat and we talked, and I was just thankful that I had gotten there in time. But as we talked, my brother had mentioned that he had this lump inside of his mouth that was really bothering him. And having a pastor as a brother, you can imagine, an opportunity for me to pray. And so it was, again, it was my mother, my father, myself, my brother, and his girlfriend in the room. And I will tell you, at that time, my dad was not a believer. At this time, he had not surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. My brother was a believer, his girlfriend was a believer, my mother was a believer, and of course I was a believer. And so I just said, well, let's pray about it. Let's pray over you. And so we gathered around as a family, and I had my anointing oil. I anointed my brother. And I told him, I said, I wanted to lay my hand upon his cheek, his left cheek, where he was experiencing the pain. And as I began to pray, I can't tell you what I prayed. I can't tell you exactly how my prayer went. But as the prayer went on, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. Felt the presence of God in a powerful way. And I prayed something, this is the only part of the prayer that I do remember, that I had never prayed before. And I prayed that the Holy Spirit would go into my brother's mouth and remove this lump. And as I said that, I felt my brother do this. Opened his mouth good and wide. And so I continued my prayer, and I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And through tears, we locked eyes, my brother and my brother said, did you feel that? And I said, yeah, I felt you open your mouth. And he said to me, he goes, I didn't move a muscle. And he said, the lump is gone, and I have no more pain. I stand before you amazed at what God can do. Because I believe at that very moment that I prayed that the Holy Spirit would go into that lump in his mouth, the Holy Spirit did that very thing. And what I felt as if he opened his mouth was the Holy Spirit removing that tumor. And we were just absolutely amazed at what God had done. We had witnessed an absolute miracle. And as you can imagine, my father was a little bit awestruck in the situation. I mean, his youngest son is in amazing pain and going through an amazing situation and season in his life. And here we are praying a prayer of faith, and immediately he sees a miracle. That was the beginning of my dad's journey of experiencing God. And today he's a believer and travels around the United States visiting different Calvary chapels because he's retired, driving on his big RV. I'm very jealous. But here's the thing. God heals even today. God will touch our lives. He will touch your life if we give him the opportunity to do so. My question to all of us here this morning, do you have a need in your life that you need God to touch? Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whatever it is, whatever it may be, is there something that you need God to do in your life? Anyone? Yes. Do you believe God will do that? See, for me, was sitting in that living room with my family, I showed up, and God what? God showed off. By simple faith, by simple belief. Even though my father was probably very skeptical. I mean, I'm his son, so he's going to let me do it. He's not going to say no, right? But even my father witnessed, in the midst of that tragedy, an absolute miracle. And we need to believe that God is into doing miracles today. We must take action in order to see God do that. We can't just, as believers, sit by the sidelines waiting for God to do something. We actually have to take action, and we need to do something about it. We need to come to God with our needs. And you may think it's a silly illustration, but we are believers, and God asks us to pray. God asks us to take action. God asks us to exercise our faith, and he says if we exercise our faith through prayer, guess what? He answers our prayers, or certainly guides our situations. So we need to be taking action if we want to see God touch us. It's a silly illustration, but I was looking at my nephew's Instagram account the other day, and he loves his action figures. Action figures. Interesting term to call something that's made of plastic that doesn't move on its own. An action figure. But most action figures, what? They have a lot of muscle, right? They have superhuman powers. They even have some weapons that they can use. They're action figures. But you know what an action figure is? It's an inanimate object that must be controlled by its owner. I submit to you this morning that every single one of us in this room are spiritual action figures. To be moved by God, to see him do an amazing work. Are we taking action? Are we asking God to move us in such a way that we can experience a miracle in our lives? The next picture, this is the church filled with action figures. laugh at it, please, I hope. Because I want it to stick. I want you to think this week, as you're going through whatever it is you're going through, that I'm an action figure, and though I'm coming up against an obstacle in my life, I'm going to believe that I take action, and I'm going to believe that God might do something. See, my brother did not get healed and is still living today. No, cancer beat him, and he passed away about a year later. But in the midst of that tragedy, in the midst of that difficulty, we saw God's hand all the way through it. The amazing amount of faith that God gave us to carry through as a family through that journey was something that we would never experience had we not gone through it. No, we are action figures, and God is in the business of healing us. And that's why I asked the worship team, share songs that talk about the healing and the impossible God that we serve and the things that he can do in our lives, because that's what we need today, do we not? I am amazed at our church in the last season that we've been in, just seeing God's hand time and time again, touching different families, different people, friends and family that we know, and the things that God is doing. He's doing miracles in our midst. And that's what we see in Mark chapter 1. For the second half of the chapter, Jesus in Capernaum, after he's been in the Sabbath, or after he's been in after he's been in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he comes out and he begins to do miracle healings. And it's a reminder to us that is the Jesus that we serve, guys. Jesus still wants to do healing miracles in your life today. And I think if we can work together, you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to remind each other that Jesus does miracles, one of my greatest activities as a pastor is taking people to Jesus and saying, believe that God will do it. Believe that God will work in your circumstances. So look with me in Mark chapter 1, verse 29. We'll read through the entire chapter. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. Three things happened here in the remainder of this chapter, and the reason I kind of wanted to group it all together, three different healings that Jesus does upon different people. We see that Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever after they leave, and certainly Jesus goes and heals her. It shows you how much Jesus loves mothers-in-law, right? Not only that, at night, the whole town shows up at Peter's door, and he's casting out demons, and he's healing the sick. When Jesus was around, there was a lot of demonic things going on, a lot of demonic forces. Makes me wonder today of the things that are happening in our lives. Is it because of that demonic oppression of the days that we live? And then thirdly, is this leper who comes to Jesus and says to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And we see these three powerful healings. Now, just to give you an idea what it was to go from the, what was it?
Synagogue.
The synagogue, good. To Peter's house. You might think, oh, how long did it take to get there? I have a picture. Again, it's one of my favorite places. Here's the synagogue that Jesus is talking, he taught, and when he, you know, delivered the unclean spirit from the man. And then this is Peter's house. Now, it's not really Peter's house. There's actually a Catholic church that was built over, suspended over Peter's house. But literally, from the synagogue to Peter's house is closer than you walk from this room to the street that we are on here in Heritage Way. It's that close. The proximity was that close. Again, this town, the entire town was only 15 acres in size. So it's not a long ways away. So Jesus, coming from the synagogue with Peter, Andrew, James, and John, walks over to Peter's house, and as they enter, they find out that his mother-in-law is sick with a fever. After a long day of work, after a long day of teaching and healing, as Jesus comes into this home, there's another opportunity. Do you need a touch by God? Do you need God to put his hand upon your life, upon your career, upon your marriage, upon your family? Do you need God to do something in your life? Jesus never tires of healing. He never tires of doing a work in someone's life. He just had a long day of teaching and preaching and healing, and as he comes into this house, there's another opportunity. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Spiritual action figures tell Jesus about the needs of others. Jesus walks into this house. They find out that the mother-in-law is sick. What happens? It says, as soon as they come into the, came out of the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and James, verse 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Why is it sometimes in our lives we delay going to Jesus? We delay going to him in prayer and asking him to work. Why is that? Are we thinking he won't answer our prayers? Are we thinking he won't do the things? He's too busy? What is it that keeps us? I think it's so very important that when the need arises, that's the moment we must go to the Lord and in prayer, asking Jesus to do a work. And that's what they do. They come to Jesus and they tell him about her. Now, I may be reading into the scriptures a little bit, but I think it's not just, hey, Jesus, my mother-in-law is sick. Because he's Jesus, he's God, he knows everything, right? I want to say he came to him and said, my mother-in-law, she loves God. My mother-in-law has an amazing walk with God. And she believes with all of her heart. And now she's sick. Jesus, would you do something? Don't forget what has just happened that earlier that day. When they witnessed this unclean spirit come out of a man simply by Jesus saying, be quiet and come out of him. You got to wonder that these guys didn't think, if Jesus did that, how hard would it be for him to heal a sick? When you have a cold, do you pray about it? When you get the fever, when you get the upset stomach, do you, or is it immediately, where's the Tylenol? You know, where's the antacid? I mean, I'm not kidding. That we do that, don't we? We don't take it to the Lord necessarily. We say, well, let me take antacid, and then we'll pray about it. I feel that that's backwards. I feel that we should be coming to God first and saying, Lord, touch me, heal me. Now, don't be dumb. If you're sick for a few days, take the medicine, okay? If Jesus doesn't heal you immediately, do it. It's there for you. But do we put God first? Because I believe if we will put God first in the little things, we're going to put him first in the big things when they come. Right? If we're that person that's, like Paul says, pray without ceasing. If we're that person that says, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. I get convicted when my wife tells me, oh, my neck's really sore. Why don't I say, well, let me pray for you? Why do I immediately go to the Bengay? You know, and rub the Bengay in the neck. I should be rubbing the Bengay, and I should be praying, Holy Spirit, touch my wife. We get so used to just fixing things ourselves that we leave God out, and I think God stands there and says, I want to do this work in your life. If you want to be touched by God, you got to ask him to touch you. You got to ask him to touch you, and that's what they did. They brought him to Jesus and said, listen, Lord, you need to do something here. We must quickly go to Jesus in prayer to let him know what's going on in not only our lives, the lives of others. Jesus says in Matthew 6:8, should be behind me, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. That's the beautiful thing. We don't have to go to God and say, God, I got to just fill you in on what's going on in my life. He knows. So we just come to him. He wants to hear from us. We come to say, God, you know I'm dealing with this cold. You know I'm dealing with this situation in my life. You know there's this tension between me and my spouse. You know, whatever it is, take it to him. Say, Lord, I would ask you to reach your hand into my life and make a difference. Touch me, God. That's being an action figure. See, if we're this action figure that doesn't have anything moving us, then we don't need anything. But I think God allows things to happen in our lives so that we will be moved by him and will be moved to prayer to ask him, Lord, do this in my life. Has anyone ever had a prayer answered in their life, a big prayer? That's what motivates us to continue to pray, because God is a God who answers our prayers. But we're so human, aren't we? And we forget. No. Spiritual action figures go to the Lord and say, Lord, I pray for this person, lifting this person up. Just this week, there's been a group of us in the church that have been receiving texts from a sister in the church whose dad has been sick and having some interesting procedures, and she's asking us to pray. She's wanting us to bring her father to Jesus, and that's what we did throughout the week, praying, God, do a work. Allow the doctors to discover what's going on. Help them figure out what it is. There's nothing more annoying than when you go to the doctor and the doctor goes, I have no idea what's going on in your life. The good news is we serve a God who knows exactly what's going on. And to be able to take this man that we barely know and say, Lord, please touch him, please heal him. Turns out he has cancer. In our prayers, we always not always get our answer that we want. We don't always get the things that we want. But I believe through prayer, it helps the family members and the loved ones around deal with the situation that we experience. It's what happened to my wife, almost 4 years ago when I was in the hospital. She went to the bathroom, went in the bathroom and cried out to God, says, either heal my husband or give me the strength to endure this trial. And I think that is the right heart that we must pray. Who are we to say, God, I need you, I want you to do this? Without saying, God, I want you to do this, you know that, but I will still want your will to be done, not my will to be done. God, equip me for the trial. Don't just take me out of the trial. I think that is a very mature prayer. Because if you are a child of God and your life is under the authority of Jesus Christ and he allows something to happen in your life, then maybe that's what you need to go through. That's the experience that you need to have to be a living testimony to the world that says, God did or didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted it, but praise be the name of God. I mean, if we could be like Job a little bit there, that would be nice. God is always worthy of our praise, is he not? Always worthy of our praise. As Jesus goes over this woman, I just love the different ways Jesus heals, okay? He cast out that unclean spirit by just speaking it. This woman who's sick, he just lays his hand on her, lifts her up, boom, fever's gone. How many people here know that after you have been sick for a long time, you're not very strong? You don't feel like doing much, you know, you got to ease into life again? Notice this woman, he lifts her up, and what does she do? Immediately she starts serving him. What a beautiful picture. Not only did he heal her sickness, he gave her the supernatural strength that she needed, the physical strength she needed to be able to serve him. I think if we are being touched by God and being healed by God as spiritual action figures, I think the least we can do is serve the Lord when he's touched us. Give him praise for what he's done in our lives. So the first thing we must do is bring others to the attention of Jesus by praying. The second thing we see happen is that the whole town shows up, okay? The whole town shows up at the door, and Jesus heals all them. The next thing we need to do is make sure that spiritual action figures bring those who are hurting to Jesus, bring those that we know to Christ, through prayer or physically. I text Suzelle this morning because when we were there doing baptisms, about halfway through the baptisms, this young girl came up, and Suzelle immediately reminded us, this was the young girl that had been having seizures every day for years. And as she's walking up, I mean, at first I was like, I mean, we're doing a baptism. But in that moment, God said, pray over her. Pray healing over her. Bind the devil off of her. And it was a great opportunity for Pastor RJ and I to lay hands on this little girl and to not only say, God, thank you that she's come to be baptized, but I pray that you touch her physical body, that she would no longer be healing, having these seizures. And I text Suzelle this morning. I was praying, Lord, please. Suzelle told us she hadn't had a seizure in an entire week after we prayed over her. Praise God. And the seizure that she did have 8 days after was so mild, it was just uncharacteristic of what she's used to. And that's just an opportunity for us to bring this child to God and say, God, don't allow this child to have seizures any longer. And to continue to pray. And that's the truth and the power that we have in God. Those are the opportunities that God gives us. Listen, think about this. Divine opportunities meet divine favor. Divine opportunities meet divine favor. Whatever may be going on in your life may be a divine opportunity for God to show himself strong, right? Whether it's a fever, whether it's a whole town that's sick and demon-possessed, whatever it is, it's an opportunity for God to show his favor and to do a work in his life. And my prayer after I talked to Suzelle, I said, Lord, let that little child be a walking testimony, a living testimony in that small town in Haiti of the power of God in their lives. Every single one of us have that opportunity to see the power of God at work in our lives. I have a friend who has a blog, and this was there this week. I think it was just a couple of days ago. Is it there? There we go. Don't look for the next opportunity. The one you have in hand is the opportunity. Are we so caught up in the lifestyle that we have today that we're always living in tomorrow and missing what's going on today? Missing the things that are right in front of our eyes. What is the opportunity that God maybe wanted to do in your life that's already happening today? Don't live in tomorrow. Because don't look for the next opportunity, because the one you have in hand is the opportunity for God to work. Sometimes I think we're in the same situation for so long that we forget God still wants to work. God still wants to work. When it comes to bringing people to Jesus, husbands and wives, bring your spouse to the Lord in prayer. Lord, please, bless my spouse, bless my husband, bless my wife. Your children, bring them to the Lord. Lord, keep your hand upon them, train them up. That's why we do baby dedications, is because we want God's hand to be upon their lives. Whatever it is in your life that you have need of, whether it's finances, bring your finances to God. Say, God, bless my finances so that I can not only meet my needs, but I'll have enough to bless others as well. That's the right heart, right? Solomon, when he prayed, said, God, just give me enough wisdom to be able to minister to the people that your people. And God goes, because of your heart, I'm going to make you the wisest person in the world. Wow. If God would bless us so much so that we could help others in a spiritual way, I think that's an absolute amazing opportunity. And before we leave this, I just can't help but think, as Jesus heals these demon-possessed people of all the town, notice he says, and he did not allow them to speak. He did not allow them to speak. Jesus doesn't need the devil interfering with his work. And I think for many of us in this room, sometimes we just need to stop hearing the voice of the devil. Maybe that's our prayer. God, heal me so that I don't have to listen to the lies of the enemy any longer. Amen. So I don't have to listen to the condemnation. Listen, the devil wants you dead. Is that clear? And so he's going to mess with you. He's not going to possess you. I don't believe a believer can be demon-possessed. But he is going to mess with your life if you want to bring glory to God. If you want to live for yourself and live against God, he's fine. Go do it. But if you want to live for the Lord and you want your marriage to represent God, if you want your children to represent, trust me, he's going to mess with you. Maybe the prayer says, Lord, stop my ears so I don't listen to the lies of the enemy any longer. Silence them in my life. So not only must we tell Jesus about others' needs, not only must we bring those who are hurting to Jesus, lastly and finally, this leper comes up. Spiritual action figures go to Jesus with our own requests. See, we always want to talk about others, but what about your own? The things that are going on in your life. Here, this leper, as Jesus is going around the Sea of Galilee and casting out demons and preaching the gospel, this leper comes to Jesus. And do you notice how he comes to Jesus? Has anybody experienced this in their lives? Notice it says in verse 40, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Have you ever had to pray a very desperate prayer? Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. That's that prayer that you're like, Lord, I would give my life if you would, whatever. We've all prayed those prayers. Hear this leper. And if you don't understand the life of a leper, it's very, very solitude. Nobody wants to be around you. Nobody wants to talk to you. But this leper comes to Jesus and says, I am begging you. And he's kneeling down before the Lord in an attitude of worship. He's saying, if you are willing, you can. Notice the faith that this leper had. You can. Is that the kind of faith we need this morning? Is that the kind of faith that every single believer in this room needs to have? Yes, we're saved, we believe in Jesus, and we're going to go to heaven, but we need to believe that God can do this in our lives. Even though the doctors say you can't, even though your friends say you can't, all these voices, all this noise, we got to listen to the voice of God saying, I can do this if you ask. I can do this if you ask. And when he says, if you're willing, I love that. I mean, is that not, Lord, if it's in your will, then do this in my life? You just see the contrast in that, the dealing with the prayer. Lord, I know you can do it. I can't tell you to do it, but if you're willing, do it. Every single one of our prayers needs to come up under the authority of Jesus Christ because he's the master. There's many of us in this room that got prayers answered, but not the way we wanted them, right? Things turned out not exactly how we wanted them. That's when we submit to the Lord's will. But this leper comes to Jesus and he says, I need you to do something, and you're the only one that can do anything. There was nobody else on the planet they could do anything for this leper, except for God. How desperate do you have to be in your life before you get to the point where you go, nothing else can fix my problem unless God intervenes? Right? Lord, unless you touch my life, the situation's going to stay the same. And I am one of those guys that doesn't want to pray that God takes you out of your circumstances if God wants you in your circumstance. You hear me? If God's will is that you have to remain in that situation a little bit longer, if your finances have to be a little bit tighter for a little bit longer, then that's where you need to stay. If I deliver you out of what God's doing it, I'm not doing you any help. Trust me, as the pastor of this church, there's a lot of things I'd like to see God take me out of right now and answer right now. But it's like, Lord, you're not allowing it for a reason, and I'm going to be patient for that. But let me tell you, it doesn't change my prayers. Doesn't change, Lord, I would really like you to do that. I am imploring you that tomorrow somebody's going to call us and they're going to give us some good news because I believe God can do that. That's the hope that we have, guys, that it's just a moment away. Do you know that your healing or your victory or your restoration can be just a moment away? Is that what, can we believe in that with that attitude? To believe it's just a moment away? this leper, I love the fact that Jesus touches him. To me, that's the biggest thing. Nobody touches a leper. Nobody. This leper, we don't know how long he was in the condition, but his family isn't around him, his kids aren't around him, his spouse isn't around him, and for someone to finally touch him had to melt his heart. And Jesus lays his hands upon him and he touches him. He says, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately, not like the other 10 lepers where he made them walk away before they got healed, immediately he was healed. And before we get too quick on judging this leper of disobeying Jesus' command, don't tell anybody. Shh. Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Isn't that interesting that Jesus does that in the New Testament, in the gospel? I'm going to heal you, but don't tell anybody. Why is that? Why doesn't Jesus want people to know? Because Jesus doesn't want to be known as simply the healer. He wants to be known as the Lord. He wants people to know that he is the Son of God and he is the heir to the kingdom of God. That's his message. He was there to preach the kingdom of God, the gospel, not the healing power. But this leper was moved in such a way, he told everybody. Isn't that interesting? Think about today. God has told us as believers to tell everybody, and we don't. I ask you, which is worse? Which is worse? That this leper got healed and he told everybody about it? Or us who are supposed to be spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ as spiritual action figures, we're supposed to be letting other people know what God's doing in our lives, and we don't tell anybody. That's a sad state of affairs. Let's believe that other people need to hear about God's healing. My story about my brother, I hope it encourages somebody who maybe is going through a situation like that to believe by faith that you can lay hands on your loved ones and pray and maybe God would heal. When I left the house that day, my mother said, I was there for a few days. When I left, she goes, you have to come back soon because your brother does so good when you're here. I looked at her right in her face. I said, Mom, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. I said, what you witnessed me do by laying hands on him and praying for him, guess what? You can do that too. If you believe in a God that does miracles, it has nothing to do with the conduit. And so maybe someone in this room just needs to believe. Lay hands on him. I got to tell you, I'm amazed at the condition of our lives sometimes that we remain in the situations that we are and we don't ask people for prayer or we aren't praying for it. I mean, I meet people every single week on Sundays, and they say, well, I'm sick, or this hurts, or I'm going to the doctor. And I'm like, have you been prayed over? No. No. Why? Why when it's available to us? Listen, if any of you in this room says, well, Pastor Rob's too busy, shame on you. I am never too busy to see God touch your life. I am never too busy. If you have to wait while I'm talking with someone, please wait. I mean, it's hard for me as I'm talking with someone, I see someone waiting because I'm trying to focus on the person that I'm talking with. But we all have needs. We all have something that we want God to do in our lives. And so don't bring those things to God so that we can see God work. You've heard me say a million times, I love it when you have problems because that gives God an opportunity to work in your life. So bring your problems. I don't put them on my shoulders. I put them on Jesus' shoulders because that's where they need to be, right? The last thing I want you to see. Oh, boy, went way too long. The last thing I want you to see. After a long day of ministry in the synagogue, and when Jesus comes to Peter's house and heals the mother, and the whole town shows up, long night of praying and healing, notice what Jesus did the next day. Verse 40, I think it is. Verse 35, back in verse 35. He wakes up early before daylight and he goes and prays. What a great reminder for us to never grow weary while doing good in this condition that we're in. We might get tired. We might get physically tired, but there's much work to do. And if Jesus has to get up early and pray to his Father so that he's equipped and ready to do the work of the day, then we sure should too, right? We sure should too. And I'm, you know, whatever, get up early or stay up late, whatever it is. It's spending time with the Lord in a secluded place so that he can speak to us, right? For homework, I know you won't do it, but I'm going to make you. For homework, read Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter, the same book, verses 14 through 29. There's a gentleman that comes to Jesus and says, you know, I brought my son to you, to your disciples, to have them deliver, because they were having seizures, and deliver them from them. And it says, and your disciples couldn't do it. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, how long am I going to be with you? And Jesus, and then later on, after he heals the child who's having seizures, the disciples ask him, why couldn't we do it? Jesus says, these only come out by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting. You see it time and time again. I wonder how many bad situations we are continuing to live in because we are not praying and we are not fasting for them. Jesus says the only way those things are going to happen is if you pray and fast. If you take time to pray about it, but if you take time to set aside a meal and to fast and to say, Lord, I want you and me to have a conversation together. So I encourage you, if there's something going on in your life, be in prayer, be fasting for it. Let's see God work. And what I want to do in the last moments of our service is allow you guys to come forward and to be prayed over. For us to lay hands upon you, for me to anoint you with oil, for situations that are going on in your life. Now listen, you don't have to have cancer, you don't have to, you know, have anything major, whatever it is. If you're just, you're going, I just have a cloudy mind, whatever it is, that if you want to be touched by God, I'm going to ask you to come forward and to be prayed over. Myself, I'll be here, Pastor RJ will be here, our wives will be here. If you wouldn't mind, ladies, go to ladies, men, go to men. But let's spend the next 10 minutes just praying over the situations in our lives. Again, whatever it may be, whatever need you have, whatever you need God to touch, let's spend the last few moments of our service actually activating that. Again, being those spiritual action figures that are bringing these things to God to see him do amazing work. Father, we thank you for your word this morning and a great reminder that you are still a God who heals, that you are still a God that does the impossible. And God, I pray this morning our faith has been increased. That we just need to simply ask. That if it would be according to your will, that you would touch us and heal us. And I pray for everyone in this room. I pray, God, right now that they're thinking about what it is they want you to do in their lives. And I pray that they would have the strength and the boldness and the confidence to come forward and to be prayed over, to believe by faith, that you do the impossible. So allow this time, Lord, to be used by you. Guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit. We know it's not us. We know it's all about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.